Are you ready for the Low Blows Network? Every Wednesday on the Low Blows Network, the Low Blows team are at hand to break down, analyze, and make fun of all things pro wrestling. Hosted by former pro wrestler Rick Nash.
I think the only reasonable thing we can do now is turn John Cena heel.
Selfie with me fucking dog.
Banned from Nigeria. I will be talking to the government tomorrow morning.
YouTube star Corporate King.
This elephant has four legs. Joe Ross has four legs. Joseph Stalin, if he had two more legs.
Bone saw rips off his shirt, yeah? And it says, shuck your law. Big dirty toy for him.
And the queen of Irish wrestling, Katie Harvey.
I won't want to sign it. Just CM
I'm
Punk.
I'm so embarrassed. CM Punk.
It's Low Blows. Bravo!
Very welcome to this annual Best of Low Blows. I think it's like the sixth of these shows we've done. It's been a while, lads, and still going strong. For my money, stronger than ever, thanks to you guys and your continued support listening. Rick Nash here, just by myself today. The rumours of me trapping Katie Harvey and Corporate Keane in Low Blows HQ over the Christmas so we can continue to record have been grossly exaggerated, but it is a pleasure to be joining you here on this Christmas Day. I know Christmas can be, for a lot of people, you know, it's the song says it's the most wonderful time of the year, but I know for a lot of people that's not the case, and I know a lot of us would use wrestling as a way away from kind of stuff that would be tougher in life, as a getaway from that, as a hideout of sorts. So like for any of you who are listening to us on Christmas Day and kind of in a situation, I know I was myself last year. Christmas was, I love Christmas generally. It's the same every year, isn't it? It's like, and that's the way for the most part, even those of us that love it, like it to be. We just do the same things every year, but it's nice to be able to stop real life and be able to do them. But I know for a lot of people, and I know for myself last year, Christmas was one of these things you just wanted to get through. And it's actually hard, if you're going through stuff, not to have the real world continue as normal and not to be able to lose yourself in whether it's work or whether it's, you know, other stuff that would distract you from the difficulties of day-to-day life. Christmas can be tough, and that's why I'm glad I'm able to be here with yous and maybe give yous a laugh and something to think about with this Best Of show. So, yeah, we're going to be basically running through, well, I am. I'm going to be running through some of our favourite moments of 2019. Thanks for those of you who tweeted in with some of your suggestions. We've included them here as well. So we're going to be running through, and what a year it's been in professional wrestling as a whole for 2019. It's been one of the most memorable and historic years. I think it's going to be a year, and it always feels this way at the end of the year. We always feel like what we've experienced and given so much time and energy to it is significant. But this year, I think it's going to be one for the books. It was the year Becky Lynch, of course, won the Royal Rumble, main evented, and won the main event at WrestleMania. And it was also the year AEW was born. Of course, Cody and the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega started their passion project. It seems weird to think that this time last year, we didn't even know that the letters AEW meant anything. There was just whispers of, you know, a revolution. The lads who did All In were starting. It was only in the new year, coming up, I remember, coming up to Wrestle Kingdom, in the few days before Wrestle Kingdom on January 4th of 2019, that we started to hear rumblings that they were actually going to be starting a promotion. We didn't even know at that stage that the likes of Cody and Young Bucks and Kenny Omega were going to leave New Japan, because it was that kind of quiet. But look at what it is now. It's a weekly part of our life, for better or for worse. And the public tide of opinion seems to be turning slightly on them. So, but it is. It's now their fully established thing on TNT every week. And we just didn't know they existed within a year. It's also the year. Let's not forget the New Japan and Ring of Honor sold out Madison Square Garden on WrestleMania weekend, which is a massive achievement and one that's kind of, there's been so much going on that it kind of goes under the radar. Of course, there was the year in Ireland. The scene continued to explode despite maybe the erosion of British wrestling thanks to NXT UK, a lot of people will say. The Irish scene continued to go from strength to strength, perhaps capitalizing on that as well, because we had, of course, Jordan Devlin against Wilder, the much anticipated rematch at the end of Scrappermania 5. And of course, the scenes, for anyone who was there or seen the video online, unbelievable to experience and to be a part of. And then just a few months later, off the back of all this anti-NXT UK sentiment, Jordan Devlin booed out of the very same stadium when he was the same person. He hadn't done anything. But then the crowd cheering David Starr, who watched on, of course, that unforgettable Walter clash. And that's kind of been the highlight of Irish wrestling for 2019, and memories that'll be forever etched into our minds. Of course, even in Fight Factory as well, we've had a memorable year. Michael May, Jonathan Gresham, of course, being the benchmark, changing venues. Of course, we're going to be back this Sunday, guys. I know, it's very close to Christmas. It feels like everything's shutting down. Fight Factory, Business as Normal, Episode 12. This Sunday in the Sheriff Youth Hall. So make sure you get on that. It's going to be a hell of a show. We have announced so far. We have all the belts are on the line in a huge, huge six-man main event. More than hype. The joint Irish Junior Heavyweight Champion LJ Cleary and the tag team champions Darren Carney and Nathan Martin against Club Rock Shandy and Flamboyant Fabio, all three of whom would argue that they had their belts stolen from them. So that's going to be on the line of Katie Harvey. Wrestles her match against Debbie Keitel, the much anticipated match that unfortunately injury prevented at episode 11. We're making sure it happens at episode 12. And so much more. You're going to have Sammy D against Amy Alonzi. You're going to have Michael May against Phil Boyd. Phil Boyd experiencing a career renaissance. And also you're going to have the Midcard Mafia just announced. They wanted a one-on-one match, but they also couldn't decide who got to wrestle Liam Royal between them. So you know what? They all get to wrestle Liam Royal. Four-on-one handicap match. Can they get the big W to close out 2019? Or is what we think will happen going to happen? We shall see. There's loads still to come. There's also a huge, I haven't got permission to give this away, but I'm very excited about this match, and I don't think I'm going to get in too much trouble. We have a huge match, okay? It's Project Next Gen, the much beloved team of the 03, Big Rab and Justin Daniels. This is like a throwback. It's like the future and the past of Irish wrestling clash. The ghost of Irish wrestling future and the ghost of Irish wrestling past, because they will face the team representing the NWA Ireland generation. They'll be facing the team of Sean Guinness and Paddy Morrow, making his Fight Factory return. It's going to be really special, guys. Get down there. We're going to have a Christmas vibe. It's going to be a lot of fun. So get there. Sheriff Youth Hall this Sunday. Guys, the wheel keeps on turning, but for now, we're going to be reflecting. Because the big news, again, if you want to talk Irish wrestling and you want to talk about low blows, unfortunately, the two combined with disastrous effect to kick us off on our first memory of 2019. Possibly the best show. It got like 30% of the votes in best episode of the year on the Low Blows Network. Possibly the best Low Blows flagship show we had. So we'd be remiss in not going back over the time. Corporate Keen and I, we're very excited to take over Courage Wrestling, a small fledgling promotion that we're trying out some new stuff, using wrestlers that you wouldn't see in the likes of, say, OTT, and they wouldn't have got that big opportunity. We decided to come in and do a harebrained scheme based off an idea Corporate Keen and I had discussed at a wrestling show before, where we just kind of, well, the name of the show was Low Blows Ruins Wrestling. And unfortunately, we did. It was quite controversial. Courage decided to preemptively pull the show. It happened on a Wednesday morning, and basically I had to break it to Twitter that this was happening. We weren't happy with it because we felt it was disgraceful, and we decided to, you know, there'd been a lot going on behind the scenes, and we aired our grievances. So let's get kicked off with the best of Low Blows 2019, when Low Blows ruined wrestling. I met with Mr. Courage. I'm not going to name them either because there's no need. But I spoke with Mr. Courage, and, like, again, more just kind of telltale signs that they didn't really know what they were doing. I don't think, Keen, you might know this story. I don't think you know this story. At one stage, like, during the meeting, he's like, can I still tell people that I'm the booker? And, like, but, like, I would be we'd be booking the whole show, like. And he turned around and I'm like, well, it's your company, like. You can call yourself whatever you want. Like, I don't care about, like, the glory or the title. I don't want...
He made a Twitter.
What's that?
He made a Twitter called Courage Booker.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was that him?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, I didn't even know that. Stick that in the list. But, yeah, he asked me if he could... And I'm like, I don't care. Like, I don't want people... But it's also going to get confusing because, like... You can't give instructions to wrestlers because, like, Katie, you know that. And, like, it's not even an insult, like, but if like, a fan comes up to you and isn't kind of... It's like any workplace. It's not just wrestling-wise. If a fan comes up to you and doesn't know but tries to talk shop with you, you instantly know kind of their experience level. You instantly know if they are a fan. You know that they're not kind of educated in the business. You know what I mean? If someone came up and tried to give you direction...
Yeah.
You'd be like, right, I can tell you've done a few training classes because you've learned a few phrases, or I can tell you've never done any of this. So I'm like, they're going to know that, and you're going to need someone to tell them who they'll actually respect, and like we'll be able to talk to them. So like, they're going to need me to direct them, so you're going to have to do something. And he's like, how about I'm the booker, and you're the booking assistant? And I'm like, I don't care. Call it whatever you want, like, but, like, it was just... And then it kind of came out, like, why he wanted it. He's like, so is it okay if I do the pre-show speeches? And I'm just like, that's not a big deal. That's not... Like, what do you want to do? A Paul Heyman speech from Beyond the Mat? Like, it's not like that. Like, it's just like, you just kind of say, like, don't go over time. You know, don't do this, don't do this, do this, do this. You know what I mean? It's just a generic, like, staff meeting. Like, it's not like, these people never believed in you. It's not like that. Like, but I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. But just give me 5 minutes at the end so I can actually explain what people have to do. So they know. And then he's like, yeah, grand. From the get-go, we had our hands tied kind of with the imports and the roster we could bring in, because they already had agreed a lot of dates without booking a show. They'd agreed with, like, 20 people already, like, we're going to use you. And there was no show or anything done. Like, there was no plan for these people. So we just had a list of people and it's like, make a card out of this.
Yeah, because I saw someone complain earlier about, you know, like, you bringing in Bobby Guns, whatever, which, like, it isn't even a bad name to bring in to begin with. But, like, that wasn't either of us that brought in Bobby Guns.
Yeah, and, like, look, I'd have been happy, like, when I looked at it as well. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, he's someone that's in demand and on the way up. And, like, it's, like, I could definitely work with it, like, you know what I mean? But we didn't have any say in that. We had to kind of make it work. Now, we eventually kind of got to have a say, and we brought in some of our own people as well. Like, we had some surprises on the night. I won't get into who it was, because who knows? We might do something down the line. But... we had some surprises, and, like, we had... By the end of it, I was very happy with our roster and, like, who we had. But at the start, it was just, like, make a show out of this. And I'm like, this show isn't going to sell in Dublin, like, with that roster. Like, nothing against the roster. Like, there's... Like, I loved the roster we had by the end, and all these people were involved in it. It just wasn't enough. Like, it wasn't... Like, when you put it next to, say, the OTT roster, it's like, it's fucking... It's Premier League and Vauxhall Conference. Not in a bad way, again, nothing against anyone on it, but it's like, it's just, there wasn't even enough wrestlers to make a card out of it. And then, all, as well, what they were saying to us was, now, we're going to have to be strict on the budget. And I'm like, but you're running a show in Dublin City Centre, like, this is when you splash out the budget. And their big promise was that, when they came in, was that, we've loads of money, we're willing to lose money for a year if we have to, you know, it's going to be fine, we can afford to pay wrestlers better than they get elsewhere. And they didn't really get the fact that it's like,
like, that's not why lads are wrestling with OTT, because they have these spectacular paydays. Lads are wrestling with OTT because they can get to WWE or New Japan or AEW or Impact. Like, that's why they wrestle there. So you're not going to pay them more than WWE will, or you're not going to take away that. So you're not going to get anyone by paying them more. But, like, I didn't say that because I'm like, I want my mates to get paid. You know what I mean? So I'm like, if you want to do that, that's fine. But then they started talking to us about budgeting and this and that, and they're like, we can't afford any more imports. We can't afford this. And I was like, I remember I said to you weeks ago, I was like, people are going to kill us because there's no women's match in the card. But we couldn't add anything. You know what I mean? I'm like, there's, like, we wanted it, but there was just, we had the card dictated to us.
Because we're like, you know, again, like, this is, you know, like, we put our names out there and we're like, oh yeah, we're the bookers for the show. It's like, all right, then you two big fucking sexist.
Yeah.
Where's your women's match? Like, well, I mean, yeah.
Like, so basically that's the setup that we were in. But at the same time, we just got on with it. We dealt with it. Me and Keane had the great chats. We came up with, here's the one thing that I never worried about and haven't given out about yet. The one thing we never worried about was the card. The card was really good, and that makes me sad because I think we did a fucking good job, like...
Yeah, I thought the card was grand.
Like, we can say this now, the main event was going to be Bobby Guns against Dmitry Krakowicz. Now, Bobby Guns obviously got injured with concussion at the weekend, and then Dmitry on Friday, if you're at Fight Factory, you would have seen he broke his nose in the match with Sean Guinness, and got on to it. Thought he was going to be fine on Friday, got on to me on Monday morning and was like, look, doctor's saying this.
I seen him on Sunday and his face was black.
Yeah, like, it just, no, it, so that fell apart, but that was going to be, I was really looking forward to that because it was going to be kind of the Dmitry coming out party, and that was going to be our main event as well, like, so I was really looking forward to that. The Floodgate match, the not a hardcore match, we'll get to the story behind that in a second, because that's, there's a story there. Do you know this?
You've told me.
I've told you, yeah. Okay. But yeah, so, like, I really liked their cards. I thought it was going to be good. Club Rock Shandy against Skyler and Lucky Kid, like, that was going to be great. Even the replacement match we had. But we'll get to it anyway. Last week, it was kind of like, all right, this is worse than we thought. Because we hadn't announced that we're doing a death match, because over 18 show, we're going to do a death match. But what was the name of the death match, actually? Do you remember off the top of your head?
It was like a no holds barred extreme rules street fight, and then in brackets with no DQs.
No disqualifications or countouts.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
What was it? Extreme rules street fight with no holds barred. No disqualifications or countouts.
Yeah, like, you have to basically every single no DQ variant in one, just so you know, it's not just a regular.
Did it have rope breaks?
Of course not.
Okay.
I would hope not. It's no DQ. It's no, you know what I mean? It's a no holds barred extreme rules street fight. Well, I don't know, right? There's a lot in it. But the point was, it was a super duper no DQ match.
Yeah, so we're going to have that with Bruiser and Savage. And then, like, I literally got on and I was like, are we announcing that? Like, which became my tone with them. Like, do something by the end of it. Will you do so? Like, fucking, like, just don't have me have to tell you everything. Like, for fuck's sake, it's your company. But, like,
like my mom, like, I'm in my room doing nothing and she just comes in and is like, kid, do something with your fucking life.
But I got on, and then and only then we find out, it's like, oh, we were talking to the venue today and they said we're not allowed to do that match. I'm like, what? Oh, we can't do the match, the venue said no. I'm like, okay, first off, how did the venue know they're doing the match? And then it's like, well, we were talking to them about ticket sales. And we had told them initially that we're going to sell 30 to 40% of all sales by a week before the show, and we haven't sold that. Now, first start, that's a 500 capacity venue, okay? Like, so 30 to 40% is 150 to 200 tickets. A week out before the event, that's never going to happen. I'll tell you something as a promoter within Ireland with Low Blows, all right? And this is the way it's been around the board for everyone. It's that way for Fight Factory and all the promotions around. It's like, the only company that do big pre-sales these days now are OTT. Because they're the hot ticket, they're the hot hand. And even then, like, you know, they don't sell out as often as they used to. Because, like, there's so much stuff on. But, like, for the other companies, we because of the way it's gone with OTT and there's so much wrestling on, there's different stuff on every single week, what we do is, we will, like, it'll get to the week of, and there won't be a lot gone, but then it'll start to skyrocket as day by day goes by. It'll start to get closer and closer, and then a lot of the business is done on the door. Like, so for example, whereas a few years ago with Low Blows, we usually sell out WrestleMania, the Royal Rumble, a week in advance, and then we'd have the week before just to plan and not have to promote or anything like that. It's not that way anymore, because there's so much on. The fans tend to not make up their mind until the week of, or don't even get a chance to think about it. They don't even get to evaluate, am I going to that, because they're generally like, do I have money left at the end of the month, because there's so much wrestling on. And it's a great situation in one way, but it's stressful for promoters as well, because we need to know. Low Blows have had to change around the way we do our ticket sales. Like, we actually get, it's cheaper if you buy an eventbrite.ie now, because we need to know to tell buskers like how much to staff and whatnot. But he got onto us, and he's like, and I'm like, okay, why are the venue giving out to you? You've paid the Button Factory £1,200. Why are they giving out to you about how many tickets you sold? That's a private booking. That's like telling people you haven't got enough people coming to your 21st. It's like, I'm paying you. Like, shut up. It's like, this is a transaction. And he's like, oh, well, the Button Factory just aren't happy. They're not going to get enough drink sales. I'm like, but that's why, that's why you're paying them, like, so, like, what, their drink sales are irrelevant to this. Like, fucking the Tivoli don't get onto OTT and be like, we need more drink sales. It's like, no, I paid you for your venue, and this is, like, we have to do that with buskers, but that's because we don't rent buskers. We work with buskers, and therefore it's both of our businesses, you know what I mean? But it's not the way when you pay a venue. It's like, it's like someone telling you, you know what I mean? Like, it's, I said this to him at one stage. I'm like, it's like buying a jumper in a clothes shop and then saying, you're not allowed to wear this on Sundays. It's like, fuck you, I paid you money. And then, but not only this, but the venue, I'm like, you've given them booking control over it. It's like, yeah, they have to approve every match. What? What? I was genuinely like, do you think Joe or Phil do this? Do you think any promoters in Ireland go to venues and are like, can we do this, can we do that? Fair enough if at the start they turn around and it's like, no blood or anything like this. I'd respect that, because it's like, right, you've set that out in the original contract. You have your own terms and conditions, that's fair enough. But turn around in the middle of it and going, we won't have that match. Why are you surrendering control of your show to your venue, who you're paying $1,200, a lot of money to? It makes no sense. So that's where the Not a Hardcore match came from, because we were just pissy. That stage, we're just like, what if we just do a Not a Hardcore match? And then we're like, right, okay, that's actually a funny name. How we go about that? So it was like, there are a list of banned items. It was based on the true story. There are a list of banned items on it. And if it's not on the list, so like the regular hardcore things like chairs, tables, thumbtacks, kendo stick, etc. But if it's not on the list, it's legal. So, like, you have to get creative. So it's going to be, like, for a one step, a spot idea I came up with is, like, someone gets a can of Lynx Africa and a lighter, but the rest takes the lighter off him, so he just sprays him with the can of Lynx Africa, and it's like, no, not Lynx Africa! So, like, just creative stuff like that, and just completely different stuff. It would have been a lot of fun, but again, we're like, right, the venue is in control of this show, and that's, I've never heard of that. Have you ever heard of...
No, like, I, like, well, to be honest, I didn't even know the card on Friday before the show. Like, that's how little control Phil gives up. No, we've never had to clear anything other than, like, what time we'll be in and out, how many chairs we're bringing. I've never experienced that.
No, but, like, I think what happened was the lads were not only getting pushed around by the wrestlers and us, they were getting pushed around by the venue, and, like, the venue was just, like, fucking with them because they didn't want wrestling in. So they were like, can we have a death match? And they're like... No, because I think the venue was just pissed. And then, like, turn around. I found this out of people. Like, people were texting me and they're going, the lads are telling me not to bump too much because there's not that many tickets gone. Why are you killing your roster's morale by telling them not to work? Like, they want to work and put on a good match. Why are you telling them, don't do this, don't do that, don't work for us, don't, like, you know that stuff we're paying you for? Just don't do it. Like, trying to be sound to the lads that you're also paying and then expecting them to respect you on the backside of that, like, they were coming to me like, what do I do? And then just going, I'm just like, don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. Like, I'm your contact for creative stuff. Like, talk to me about this stuff and we'll clear it. Talk to them about money and transport and all that kind of stuff.
Not about transport, though.
Yeah, but no, don't talk to them about transport. Yeah, well, they'd learned since. They had someone at least. They got on Twitter today when we announced it, because we ran first. I was saying to you guys, I was like, as it was getting closer, because I was saying to them, like, they said that it was due to low sales that they cancelled. Their sales were not low. For me, they were near identical to Fight Factory's last week. And Fight Factory was a well-attended show. Everyone who was there will know there was not, like, empty seats or anything. Like, it was a well-attended show. And that's what I would have expected for Courage. Like, I looked at it from the start and I was like, 150, 200, and this is a success. Like, you're not going to be OTT. But, like, they went in promising the Button Factory that they were going to have, like, 300, 400, 500 people there. And I'm like, you're not. Only OTT get those crowds anymore. Like, that's, it doesn't happen, like.
And as Justy pointed out, like, OTT get that with an online marketing campaign. Like, there's billboards up for Scrappermania around Dublin.
Huge.
Like, all that. Even for Fight Factory, like, I pay for sponsored ads and stuff on social media. We always have a really good postering campaign. You know, you do have to put the groundwork in.
Yeah, yeah, and none of this is being done. Like, and then expecting that kind of return. It's just like, no, that's not how any of this works. But not only that, but telling the venue. It was like, this is always going to be a disaster because you're not going to get 400 people and the venue are going to be pissed. Like, what were you planning at this stage? So turning around and saying that it was low sales is absolute bollocks. And as well, like, I kind of noticed a few days ago that I was like, I said it to you guys, we were chatting in the Low Blows group chat, and I said it to you, and I'm like, I'm worried these guys are going to just cut and run. Like, I'm worried, like, it's happened before in Irish wrestling where you get a case of the disappearing promoter, and I was like, this could happen, like, and I'm very cautious of it, because I'm like, I'm looking at their costs and how much they're in the hole at this stage, and I'm like, they could look at it as the easiest way is just to eat the deposit we paid the venue and then pay no one else and just disappear. So I was very cautious of this the whole time. Today, this morning, we had the cancellations on Monday with Bobby Guns and Lucky Kids coming out. That was confirmed on Monday and Tuesday throughout the course. And then all of a sudden now I'm drafted in to bring in replacements. We set up, and this is overnight on Monday, we set up a deal with Pro Wrestling Eve. Very helpful, Emily and Dan Reed. Thanks a million for your help. They were absolutely brilliant. Hooked us up. We were doing a showcase match for some of their Shevolution competitors as well. So I was like, finally, we've got a bit of space. We can get a women's match in the card. Because now, it's not my job to get the imports in. But I was like, I want to get this on. So I'm going to take this job on anyway and sort this out. So we had them in as a replacement for losing their main event. Now, they probably wouldn't have been main event because people wouldn't have known them, but like it was the match count was the same. We just throw another card up to the, we just throw another match up to main event. And then we had Julian Pace in as well, who's very popular the last time he came over. So I'm like, right, we're actually doing okay for replacements. Then this morning, as we're kind of finalizing everything, we get a text out of the blue saying, look, we've had to cancel the show. The venue aren't happy. We lost our two headliners. And we have to preserve our relationship with the venue because they work with them for non-wrestling stuff. So all of this, there wasn't enough ticket sales. I was cautious of this at this stage that I was like, they're going to try pin it on us. They're going to try pin it on us and they're going to try. So that's why I came out and tweeted it immediately after they announced we were cancelling. I'm like, no, I'm going public. Because I'd expect it for a few days, so I was prepared for whatever happened anyway. So I'm like, no, I'm going public and I'm telling the actual truth about this. So everyone's kind of getting on. They're like, oh, well, Courage didn't move the needle. We were doing fine. We were doing better than expected, I'd say, me and Keane. Like, considering we had like near identical pre-sales to what Fight Factory had last week, and we had no promo behind that, you know what I mean? We'd no posters, we'd no flyering, we'd no kind of groundwork promo. We were doing well, and like we would have got a good door as well in Dublin City. We would have convinced people because we hadn't even finished like putting out all of our promos. I'm raging. Did you see It's Always Sunny in Courage yet?
No.
Oh, brilliant. I hope that they release it anyway. Luther Valentine and Tron and JDP did up a 5-minute Always Sunny in Philadelphia pitch. Like, it's amazing. I hope they still put it out.
Send it to me. I really
want to
see that.
I will. It's really cheesy, but also really funny, like, and very clever. But yeah, we hadn't even finished our promo. So I'm like, I'm confident we're going to get a walk up and get like probably the best crowd Courage is going to get. And sales were in line with that by the end of it. But the lads just shit the bed. And that was that. So yeah, like, look, I'll finish by saying I don't think the lads are scumbags. A lot of people are absolutely shitting them. And like, here's the thing as well. Like, And I kind of noticed this because I was the one who broke the story and was directly involved with it. A lot of people are coming out on Twitter and having their big threads and their hot takes about this issue before they know the facts, and kind of also assuming that Courage's word was true about low sales when it's actually not the case at all. But also, people are kind of burying the guys, and I don't blame it because I've spent half an hour burying them myself. But at the same time, like, they're kind of treating them like they're absolute scumbags and this and that. I don't think they're scumbags. I don't think they're awful. I don't think they're horrible people or anything like that. I think they were just naive. I think they just got in way above their head. They were fans, and they just wanted to run a wrestling promotion. I think they wanted to hang out with wrestlers. I think they wanted to have points with imports, and they wanted to call themselves a booker, and I think they wanted to host pre-show meetings because they saw Paul Heyman do it in Beyond the Mat. And I don't think they're evil or bad or horrible or anything like that. They're just naive, and they made a mistake. And it's frustrating having put in 2 months of work and worked their asses off for it. But if I could revise Justy's advice, if I could go back over and if I could do it again, if I could reverse time and say to Justy, can we just say that one more time, but just put a few caveats. It's a great time to promote wrestling in Ireland. But if you want to work in wrestling or want to work in any industry, you should probably make sure you have some kind of experience beforehand that you can actually do so. Otherwise, you're wasting everyone's time. And sadly, I think that's going to be the tale of Courage. And it could have been so much more. Corporate Keane, your first ever show, but like the spandex pantomime from Monday just got really awkward with you talking about booking the show.
Yeah, I know. I'm not going to lie, I was a bit devastated, to be honest.
How are you feeling now? And how's this experience been for you?
So the first thing I want to say is, right, I want to thank Courage for a few things, right? First of all, they brought me in to commentate on PAC's return match to Europe, right? And that's fucking cool. I got to commentate a PAC match, yeah? So that was cool. Also, this absolutely went tits up, yeah? And the stating the obvious there, I don't want to... It's like, I hate the fact that I, you know, attached my name to this absolute catastrophe. I hate
attach low blows to it. It's really annoying.
It's bad. You know what I mean? You look through and you're kind of like, this, like, within the bubble of Irish wrestling, this will always be kind of my thing now. But I feel, yeah, so, but at the end of the day, one thing that's important is I've seen one or two people slagging off the wrestlers for this.
What?
Not blaming them for what happened, but, you know, slagging them, saying, oh, they're going to go running back to OTT and all that sort of shit. It was, you know, just memes and jokes and all. I'm like, the wrestlers weren't getting booked by OTT. They took an opportunity. They made an opportunity for themselves by saying, fuck it, we'll wrestle for Courage. And when I look at the likes of Dimitri Krakovich, Club Rock, Shandy, Luther Valentine, you know, Nightmare Edition, they did some good stuff.
Yeah.
There's loads of them you can choose from that did, like, what they were given, they made an opportunity for themselves, yep, and they took it. And I feel like nobody should be shitting on them. Nobody should be shitting on Ben, GG Media, Tommy McNulty, you know what I mean? Like, anyone else that was working on the show. They worked on the show. I don't know. Like,
the wrestlers bet on themselves.
Yeah.
Like, this is the thing. They risked alienating OTT, and that's a big opportunity as well, because OTT does have very real benefits to working for them, and the lads bet on themselves by working for Courage, and I think they deserve respect for that. Now that it's all out, I think people should give wrestlers respect for that. And that's what I was looking forward to, because there was a show in Dublin City filled with largely Irish wrestlers. Spoiler alert, we're going to use the imports that we had to put over the Irish guys, like, because we wanted it to be predominantly around local talent. And I was really excited for that aspect of it, because it's like a hungry roster who are dying to show people, it's like, this is what I have. Other people didn't believe in me, but I believe in myself, and they were fucking hungry for it. And that's what I'm raging that we're not getting to do.
One thing I will say is that you might think, you know, like, but do you regret this? And weirdly enough, I actually don't at all. I'm delighted I did this, because I've never, like, you've both seen, you know, like, what it's like to book for a wrestling promotion and all that. I never have. I've only been, you know, the other side. And now that I've seen both sides, and I'm like, right, it's actually a fuckload harder to put together a wrestling show than you realise. That burning desire to, you know, have my own promotion or, you know, be a promoter, that's gone. I don't want to do that.
I was just about to say, we need to let Keane book a match on the next Fight Factory show so he gets a taste.
We need a floodgate match.
Don't get me wrong.
I've already put in a bid.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I would love to do, you know, like a one-off show or something like that.
Yeah.
But to actually do, like, and again, it would just be the booking, like the fun stuff, the creative stuff. never want to actually own my own promotion and have to do like all that sort of shit and like, you know, on a regular basis as well. Because one thing I've learned as well, you can't get bored of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because if you get like, it's a never ending thing.
Switch off.
Yeah, it's a never ending thing. It might seem like, you know, because it's the same with videos. You know, like when I'm making videos, I'm like, some weeks I'm like, oh yeah, I can't wait to put that video out. And other weeks I'm like, oh, I could not be fucking earnest. But when I don't put out a video one week, that's just me that has to suffer there. But if you're promoting for a wrestling company and you get bored one week, everyone suffers as a result. So you can't, you know what I mean? You can't take a break, which is fascinating. You know what I mean? Like, to know all that is really cool. So I'm grateful they gave me the opportunity. I would like to point out that as much as I will joke in the future about how, like, we ruined wrestling and all that sort of stuff, wasn't actually our fault.
I think we made that abundantly clear with the half-hour rant.
To quote Snitsky, it's not my fault. Basically, you know, but it was an experience, and it's one that I'm grateful that I got to go through. Mm. And yeah, I don't know.
It's just a shame that it didn't. Like, I think this time last week we knew that this was going to be a one and done.
Yeah.
but I hoped that we'd still get that show because there was still the option of if the reviews are great, like this is going tits under. As soon as we knew that they were promising the venue 300-400 people, I was like, this isn't going to work. And they don't have a venue. Rights is gone now. They don't have another venue and they don't seem to even care that much about this anymore. They seem to be like, this is hard and I want to go home. Like that was their attitude to me over the past 2 weeks. Like, to be fair, I'll give credit to one of Mr. Kerr, the one we dealt with the most. He seemed eager this week when we were finding the replacements and stuff, but then the other person is just like, no, let's not do this. It's hard. And let's just stop it all. We could just quit. And then they did. And that was that. But I thought we'd get that show. And I was like, you know what? If it gets really good reviews and we enjoy it, we can look at maybe running ourselves, or it can be a pilot for something else, or other people can get ideas from it, or other people can take up the reins or something. Like, but I would have liked to get that one show. That's the disappointing
thing. The one thing that's shit for me is, it's just the fact that it didn't happen. Mm. You know, like I can't say, like, oh, I booked the show. Do you know what I mean? It didn't happen. So it's kind of like...
You did book a show. It just never happened.
Well, I mean, well, then you can say you did anything and it didn't happen. You know what I mean? But... I don't know. I got to experience it. I suppose that's the main thing. Thanks.
This is like the Fire Festival of Irish wrestling, isn't it?
Really? Yeah. WrestleMania. It's been announced that they're doing it in Tampa next year, in Florida. Who's excited for that? Are you excited for that?
Yeah. Am I?
That doesn't sound very... You don't sound very excited.
I'm not.
Are you excited?
I actually... Yeah, like, I kind of want to go.
Fuck his vote anyway. You ruined my point altogether.
Disneyland. What? Orlando Magic are my favourite basketball team.
Right, well, I'm not excited.
Okay, sorry.
That's my point.
Sorry, I didn't know which way you wanted me to go.
I was hoping your honest answer would be no, because you, like everyone else, want a lovely... Westmead WrestleMania. And I know you do. And I know you do as well. Think about it. All the fields and the room and space, and you could put a ring in the middle of it. You could bring in loads.
Oh, you mean actual Westmead? That's not a euphemism.
No, I mean like an actual Westmead.
What did you think of Westmead WrestleMania meant? Yeah,
what analogy could that even be?
I thought he was going to like explain it to me.
No, I mean like a Westmead WrestleMania.
You're the old Westmead WrestleMania, if you know what I mean.
No, an actual Westmead WrestleMania.
And there's the show title.
Yeah, right down.
But do you not want a Longford?
I would definitely watch that. Like, I mean, I know
CBL would like a Longford WrestleMania. A Longford WrestleMania would be fine with me too. Cavan WrestleMania somewhere. You know what I mean? Like anywhere. Not Fermanagh. Hey, Fermanagh. But like any of the other counties. You know, like, you know, Offaly or wherever. But yeah, they've just gone to the same place as always. Just another American city.
Right.
And I'm just disappointed. I think it's a wasted opportunity.
Well, you never know. Your campaign, there you go. Join the Corporate King campaign.
I did. I had a petition up for this ages ago, but it got taken down.
How many votes did you get before?
Three or so. It did all right. It was just all the Westmead people.
That's
on Twitter.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's gas, because this is back when they had like 50 petitions. All right. And it was like 0, 1, 2, 3, and one was like, put Session Mott in tournament of death where she might fucking die and get murdered. 200 signatures.
And like CZW tweeted about that. Well, that's probably going to happen now.
Oh, man, imagine. No, that'd be so good.
All right, there we go. Westmead WrestleMania. We're getting the ball rolling here, guys. WrestleMania 37.
Get your signatures in.
Actually, no, that killer WrestleMania party, I don't want anything to do with that.
No,
sorry.
Wouldn't it be great?
No, no.
We do it live. Come? Do it live from WrestleMania itself. Seems it's in Ireland. Like. Well, actually, that's a good question. What would you do, right, hypothetically, if there was a WrestleMania in Ireland? I mean, it'd probably be Dublin, even though there's no venues. It probably would have to be Westmeath. But, like, what would the party situation be in, like,
I'd just go and wouldn't have a party. There'd be no point. Everyone would go to WrestleMania. Like,
do a live party.
Like, yeah, like, but I don't know if WWE would be sound with that. You know? We're just going to, like, run our business over here. And we're going to charge admission fee into your event. I don't know. I don't think that
would
work.
Imagine being a poor fucker that couldn't get a ticket, so he goes to Low Blows and there's nobody there. That's actually really sad.
It's not even on screen. And it's just...
The last thing I want to speak about. Cody's entrance. I put on Twitter about this, and it's just like, in every promotion, there's always a dickhead at the top who wants to give himself a WrestleMania fucking entrance. Cody's entrance was Triple H, like, he's satirizing how Triple H gives himself big entrances for WrestleMania, while giving himself a big entrance. Falls flat. Like, again, I don't, like, in a company that's like, we're not here to be competition, we're not here to be competition. I was listening to the John Moxley interview on Talk is Jericho today, and it was very funny because they've obviously prepared, say that you're not competition. Do you know where I'm going with this? Did you pick up on this as well?
No, I didn't pick up on it.
There was a bit in it where, like, John Moxley and Chris Jericho are talking, and they just go, they bitch about WWE for a solid hour, and then they're like, you know what, we hope, if there's one thing AEW can achieve, if there's one thing they can achieve, it's that, like, they'll make WWE better, and they'll make Vince McMahon get better at his job. And then, like, they kind of caught what they were saying, and they're like, but we're not competing against WWE, like, we're just doing our own thing. And it was kind of like, haha, you got fucking caught, you're, this is all about WWE, everything about this, there's so many references. And if they hadn't done this, I would have still brought this up, because Cody spent the entire weekend of press conferences taking shots at WWE, and it's like,
taking shots at Bailey, which I wasn't happy about.
Yes, I heard that, yeah.
Like, there's no point in taking shots at Bailey. She's lovely.
What did she do?
What did he say about Bailey?
Something about, like, I think they were, a lot of people have been comparing Kylie Rae, who is in AEW, with Bailey, and it was, he made some smart remarks about Bailey's entrance and stuff like that. Like,
Bailey's better than Kylie Rae, if I'm being honest. Like, because I know both of them, and Bailey's better, if the same.
But also as well, right, there's this dig at Triple H. Never mind the fact that what he's doing is also, he's guilty of the thing that he's slagging. He's doing the thing that he's slagging himself. If it was Hangman Page that did this exact entrance, I'd have less of a problem. But I know Cody is the Triple H of AEW. So it's like, you've literally given yourself this. Like, you are the same as Triple H. You're the exact same kind of wanker that you're slagging here. And you're like, but I'm the wanker of the promotion you like. And it's just like, no, you're the exact fucking same. And here's the thing as well. Triple H, like, this whole match, like, the start of this whole match was built on, like, respect for Dusty and how much people love Dusty. You know who else loved Dusty and was really close with Dusty? Triple H. Like, what's your beef? Triple H is the person who has started the Dusty Rhodes Classic. He's the person who kept Dusty Rhodes employed and in a position of seniority within WWE. I'm on Triple H's side here. He's done nothing to you, Cody.
And the statement Cody released when he originally left WWE actually says that about Triple H. About, yes, like, how much he respects him for keeping his father's legacy alive.
Yeah, and it's just like this total... And it kind of got me thinking about, like... And I enjoyed AEW. I'm going to get to the stuff I enjoyed. Now, I do want to talk about the good. But it kind of got me thinking about, what is the thing with wrestling now, and what's going on? And this is what I came up with in the taxi home. So pardon me, because these thoughts were formulated when I was half cooked, but I think it still makes sense. It's like, a lot of the wrestling world were in a toxic, bad relationship with WWE, where they're like, they've been in this relationship for so long, and it's gone wrong, and they're just not happy anymore. But they're also like, they've been in the relationship too long that they're like, well, I'm not going to leave it. I'm not going to walk away from it. Like, I think it'd just be easier. It went codependent, and they're like, I think it'd be just easier if you just changed. Because I'm perfect. My taste is perfect. You're the one who changed. I'm not. And here's the thing. WWE are the exact same as they've always been. I said this on Twitter a few weeks ago. WWE are a perfectly fine children's TV show that we haven't outgrown. So sometimes we project onto them. It's like if we really liked Barney the Dinosaur and we never outgrew watching Barney the Dinosaur. And then in our later life, when our taste had changed, we were like, why isn't this The Sopranos? I like The Sopranos now. It's like WWE are the exact same as they've always been. They're kids' TV. You've outgrown it. They don't need to change. Plenty of people are perfectly happy with WWE as they are. But you, like, people are like, right, we need to change. Then All In came along. And All In was one of those things where people are bitching about their girlfriend for or their partner for years. It's gone toxic, but they just don't want to leave. Then All In came along. It's like going on like a work night out. And All In was like a work colleague making eyes with you across the dance floor. And you're like, ho-ho. Maybe there is a whole other world out here. Maybe I might think about it. But you left it. You're like, oh, I've got this WrestleMania thing. Like, there's the whole, I want to see what happens with Becky. Like, we've got the holiday plan. So I'm going to go on that and then see how it is. And then that happened and it was grand. And then you're like, no, I'm breaking up. I'm breaking up. And AEW was like your first night out on a date with this new person. And you're like, all right, yeah. I'm going to give this a go. I'm like a whole new man now. And this is like wrestling fans who are like, ah, this is great. And like, it was a good night. You had a good date. Maybe you got the ride at the end and you're like buzzing the next day. This is wrestling Twitter for the past week. Like they've got the ride and they're just like, yeah, a whole new world's opened up. This is amazing. But then you're telling your mates about the show and like a date with a new girl, there are massive red flags in AEW that no one's paying attention to. For example, the boys are going to run the show. People are like, that's the best thing ever. What could possibly go wrong? We've seen it. That was WCW. That was Hogan and Bruce Beefcake and the Nasty Boys and all his lads, and they ruined it all. Or they're like, it's a bunch of lads, it's a bunch of disgruntled ex-WWE employees taking shots at their old bosses, so edgy and new. No, that's what TNA did, and it wasn't great. Remember Kurt Angle and Christian and Booker T? And it was like, oh, the lads are coming to TNA, they're going to take over, it's a new Monday Night Wars. And it didn't turn out great. There are Cody literally being Triple H while taking shots at Triple H. There are red flags here. I'm just saying, maybe this was just a good first date. Maybe this isn't the dawning of a new era. It could be, and I hope it is. I've got no bias here. I've been accused of being both AEW biased and WWE biased in the past few weeks, which kind of reassures me that I'm being impartial, if I'm being honest, because I seem to be biased against both people. But what happened here is, like, lads, you went out. There's nothing wrong with WWE. Your taste changed. If you found someone that suits your taste better, that's good. It doesn't mean that everything that came before is bad. Your taste, you just changed. They didn't change, you changed. But that doesn't mean that there aren't red flags here. And that's all I'm saying.
Ha, 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 ha. Hilarious stuff, I say, as I'm totally listening to this along with you now. That's how this works. These aren't being pre-taped for continuity purposes at all. Amazing stuff there. Hilarious, whatever that last clip was. I think you'll agree. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, guys, Rick Nash here on the Best of Low Blows 2019. Hosting... These are always my favorite links to do in a year. Hosting some of our favorite bits from 2019. Of course, at the top of the show, when you last heard from me recording this in present time, not the past version of me in 2019. You get what I mean. The time jumps are crazy. Try not to think about it. It's pretty mental. It's like Avengers Endgame. But guys, you heard me list at the top of the show, like, kind of the tremendous, like, achievement by various promotions. The great thing about wrestling that's kind of different from, like, if you went back and listened to the Best of the Low Blows, the first year we did it, it'd be very WWE centric. But now there's a whole world of wrestling and so many other promotions that are succeeding. And you heard me list the achievements of various different promotions outside of WWE. Well, one promotion that kind of went under the radar
is NWA. They experienced a revival this year with NWA Power taking over a lot of people's attention and proving that the way forward is by looking backwards and just producing an 80s style TV show, studio TV show. And look, he demanded we fit this in just to show like how ahead of the curve he was. So Corporate Keen wanted us to illustrate that he was on the bandwagon before any of us were. So here we go. That the Corporate Keen, he was. Let the record show, Team NWA. Right, okay, Corporate Keen, you've been building it up the entire show, so I think it's time we get to it. Let's talk in a number three about NWA Power.
Are the final three in reverse? I'm assuming that's you're doing a fun little quirky thing where it goes one, two, three, and yeah, that's okay.
No,
all right. So in at number one, but obviously we're going backwards. Okay. In at number one, go obviously, because I'm assuming we put this down to a vote, didn't we? And I wouldn't have voted for anything other than NWA. I assume
it wasn't on the vote.
Imagine actually. So,
and I'm actually complimenting it here by putting it ahead of things that were in the poll.
Imagine not putting NWA in the poll. I mean, at least I would have. It would have been fine if you like assumed it was number one, and that's why you didn't put it in, because like you knew that by default everyone would vote for it. So, right, fine. Number three, apparently not a Corporate Keen decision. Just to clarify, NW fucking A, lads. The boys are back, right? NWA are back at it, and it's fucking deadly, right? They started up a new weekly show called NWA Power. It's got three R's. I don't know how you pronounce something with three R's.
Power, like a girl.
I don't know. You can just call it Power. But I mean, look, three R's because it's three times as good as every other wrestling show out there right now. So, it is, first of all, the show's on YouTube, right? YouTube is the best. It is the best place to watch a wrestling show. Like, it is just so accessible. You can watch it anytime. And just the player in general is a lot. It's nice and easy to use and, you know, whatever. But, yeah, so NWA, when this was announced, I was like, right, cool, because I only know the champions. They're the only people that you know going into it. Fucking Nick Aldis, the world champion. James Storm is the something champion. North American, is that it? I don't know. Who else? Okay, I've gone blank, but the women's champion, Allison Kay, and she debuted a new title, and this title is the best championship in all of wrestling. And look, I'm really good at reading people's faces and reading their emotions. Rick and Katie agree with me. They are nodding across the table. They're like, Keen, it's the best title I've ever seen. And I, you know what? It's almost like you don't even need to say it. Lads, the title, basically, it's a throwback to the Mildred Burke era of NWA. Am I going to pretend I knew that? No. Killer Steve W told me. Sure. but it's a throwback to the Mildred Burke era of NWA. And for those of you that don't know what that means, she had her own championship. But instead of the NWA logo in the middle, instead of a spinner in the middle, it is her face in the middle. This is perfect. Allison Kay now has a championship with her face as the centerpiece, the middle. Katie's just jealous. That's why she's looking at me like that.
It looks like a memorial.
It's a memorial for all the opponents she's going to kill in that ring every single week.
Well, then it should be their face.
What?
Well, then it should be their face.
No, because then you have to redo the belt every week. It's a convenience thing, right? Anyway, it is just so good. And like, that's what I was thinking. If let's say for some bullshit reason, like, I don't know, maybe she got injured or whatever reason, she gets screwed out of a title, whatever, and somebody else wins the title, they're going to have to carry around her face. And that's even better. Or, like, and this is actually a gas idea. It's like, you know the way, like, WWE has custom side plates? It's a picture of their face.
Over. And you can see the old pictures underneath it.
That's actually really funny. But, no, she's going to hold it the entire way through. So, we don't need to worry about that. So, with new titles, new shows, then you're like, oh, who's on the roster? So, they put out a picture. This is before I got to even watch the show. They put out a picture. If you know those pictures promotions put out where it's like the whole roster standing in the ring, happy, smiley and shit. They had one of those, and oh my god, this roster, right? Allison Kay, first one, that was known already. My best fucking friend, Melina. Right there, right? Allison Kay, Melina. No, it doesn't end there. Damien fucking Sandow. Remember Damien Sandow?
Yeah, one of my faves.
Damien fucking Sandow, right? Daniels, remember Extra Talented that came to OTT and everyone said bring them back and they never got brought back and you don't know where they are now? Well, Ricky Starks is in NWA.
One of them is.
What's wrong with that? Lads, I'm not done. Eli, okay, I know he's against intergender wrestling and all that sort of shit, but Eli Drake, charismatic as fuck, he's there. Speaking of charisma, Eddie Kingston, he's there. Who's tagging with Eddie Kingston? Homicide, he's there. Fucking Mr. Kennedy, he's there.
Makes sense.
Trevor fucking Murdoch.
Didn't know he was.
He's there.
You're the third person to get excited about Trevor Murdoch on this show. What I've spoken to this week, like,
he was like, we reported on him on like Low Blows 3, and we tracked him down and realized that he wasn't a wrestler anymore. He was like selling internet cables,
and now he's back. It's so cool. There's so many, like, even like, I know as I'm talking to you, I'm forgetting loads of other names. Like, oh, it's just, it's so cool. And I watched the show this week. I watched it. It's on what day of the week are we on now?
Tuesday.
Yeah, it's on Tuesday night, so I might not have time to see it every week before the show, but I specifically, because it's the first one, I was like, I'm watching this.
Yeah.
Lads, it is basically like, I don't know what decade,
it's the 70s.
Yeah, 70s.
70s and 80s, early 80s wrestling. Have you seen clips of this?
Yeah, I've seen clips.
Oh, you'd be all about this, yeah.
It's a throwback, essentially, in as many ways as they possibly can.
It's filmed, I think, in the Moat Theatre.
Yeah, it is, yeah. All the crowd are on one side. It's in a TV studio, and it's very much, like, I was watching some of the talking segments they had there. It was, I can't remember off the top of my head, but it was like Eddie Kingston was there anyway. And it turned, obviously it was a talk segment that devolved into like a scrap then. But they had all these like, you know, like the TV, like props, like the table, like it's like a little props. So they just smacked it out of the way. And it looked really funny. It was just like, the whole thing is so cool and it's so different. And I'm just like, I'm in love with the roster. I love how like they have their own exclusive roster. Like, that's not easy considering the amount of promotions out there now. Like you're able to assemble a decent roster with lads that you're not going to find in other promotions. Because that's a turn-off for me. I want to watch AAW, for example. Great promotion, but when I watch AAW, it's like, I can kind of see these guys anywhere. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So it's kind of like, as cool as it is, it's not a priority for me to see it, because it's kind of like,
just go to the next OTT Stadium show and half of them are going to do
Yeah, or no, but even like bigger promotions, you know, like Impact and wherever else will have them. Do you know what I mean? But NWA, it's old school. It's obviously it's in like HD and shit. So that's the only thing that's like kind of
mad. It's really surreal watching it because it's both modern and so old school. That's alternative. That's fucking alternative.
Exactly. It's fucking different. In a world with like hundreds upon hundreds of wrestling promotions, they've still managed to find a way to make it different.
But just going back, but just looking backwards a bit, it's fucking genius. I know. I'm all in on NWA. I agree.
You're not team NWA. You're not loyal. I'm not team NWA. I'm not.
Yeah. No.
My hot take is that I may have found a new favorite authority figure in wrestling.
I'm ready for this.
This isn't gonna end well.
What?
You seem real embarrassed.
Oh yeah, Rick's gonna beat me up. Rick's gonna beat me up because he's a GM. Just realise that. So
yeah.
Rick's gonna beat me up.
Yeah, that's you're at the Fight Factor show the weekend.
Yeah,
who else
have you seen? Oh, Wallace talking about Rick Nash. That's exactly what I was talking
about. Okay.
That's a hot take.
I didn't do much.
So my favorite authority figure came from a video on Twitter yesterday. You might have been in it somewhere. It was a documentary that Be Cool shot. You're in it. I'm sure you were in it somewhere. There was probably two authority figures in it. You just like you were somewhere.
Okay, so not even your not even your favorite Irish authority figure. And there's only two. I'm your least favorite. Irish authority figure.
Well,
really small category, and the one you personally know hang out with every week, but still your least favorite.
Look, I think you're better than Andy Thompson.
That doesn't count. I don't accept that.
That was a nice
compliment. He is a commentator, not an authority
figure. But he was an authority figure, and I think like you're better than him. Like,
find it. Put over Joe. Lord knows Joe doesn't get enough credit. Let's give some credit to Joe.
Okay, I will.
No one ever says anything nice about Joe.
Okay. Be Cool's documentary. Have you both seen Be Cool's video that he put out yesterday?
Repeatedly.
Oh, yeah, I watched it more than once. It was just. I'm sure you did.
I might have been taking notes.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so... Oh, hi. Didn't see you there, dear listener. I was just enjoying some Christmas merriment over here. Well, you're very welcome back to the Best of Low Blows 2019. Yours truly, Rick Nash. I'll just step away from the Christmas party I'm having over here and return to fill you in on what you can expect for the continuity, for the purposes of continuity of the show. Guys, best of shows are so stupid. guys, that's Corbett Keane there. Rubbing it in my face. I'm not salty, you know. It's a fair opinion to have that maybe I'm not the best of two authority figures in Irish wrestling today. You know, Joe doesn't get a lot of appreciation or respect in Irish wrestling, so I guess it's about time that we gave him his. Fucking asshole Keane. Guys, we talked about Corbett Keane there. I want to focus in on, obviously, possibly the big, story, but it was very real life situation was of my co-host, Katie Harvey, our co-host and friend, despite the fact that we terrorize her for hours upon end, once a week, every Wednesday for your entertainment. I want to talk about her because her story and the twists and turns that her very real life have taken this year have been detailed on Low Blows, because obviously, you know, she was a part of the podcast before any of her unfortunate injury where she broke both her elbows. Dad, she was already a part of the show, so it was kind of it was a strange kind of time for her. I know. Obviously, congratulations, she won Low Blow Staff of the Year, and in traditional Low Blow sense, although you guys may not realize this, maybe this is more off air, we're going to say nice things about Katie when she's not here, and then once she's in the room with us, then we'll abuse her to death. But like, very well deserved, because like, look, it was a tough time for her, and she still came in week after week, detailing what was one of the most traumatic events of her life, and happened, and unfortunately the fact that it happened in public in front of people meant that, you know, she couldn't just hide away from it, she couldn't just pretend it didn't happen. When she came on, it obviously had to be discussed, and she was happy to share kind of the comeback trail with us, despite the fact that, like I said on last week's Blowies Awards, she probably didn't know how she felt a lot of the time. And again, there was obviously some therapeutic benefits to that, but also as well, it must have been tough at times. So, you know, we had to be sensitive about it, and we had to kind of be respectful of what she was going through. So we did it in the best way we know how here at Low Blows. We dragged her reputation through the mud. because, you know, I think after WrestleMania, because there was such hype, especially going into it with Becky Lynch, and of course then you had the Devlin Walter feud and all of that, and I think kind of for a lot of us that felt like almost, and we know now that it wasn't the case, but it almost felt like for a lot of us and a lot of people, I think in general, like the series finale of wrestling, you know, the good guys won. Jordan Devlin got his belt back. Becky won the main event of WrestleMania, and I think we're all a little pooped. So fortunately, Game of Thrones came along around April, conveniently after WrestleMania, for the last time, to kind of distract us from wrestling. Obviously, Katie's going through what she's going through, so I think she was kind of happy to divert away from wrestling. I know she just finds it very difficult to watch, to keep up with Low Blows and do her kind of duties there. So we did. We diverted away from wrestling altogether for 6 weeks. But we didn't divert away from slagging Katie. No, we dragged her reputation through the mud. And as the weeks went on, what was once an offhand comment about her wanting to have Grey Worm killed be turned into, as it does, the narrative that Katie hates slaves. And... Well, let's just say that this was a running joke for weeks. We're going to play a clip of both her her talking about like where it all kind of came out, where it all came out, like her kind of history of hating slavery, not slavery, slaves, specifically slaves, not slavery. Slavery is a reasonable opinion to have. And also as well, the moment where she got her own back, because on this, the Game of Loblaws finale, which didn't do great in the best episode of the year thing, but it still remains one of my favorite episodes that we've done, because there was a payoff in so many things, where she kind of got her own back on, of all people, Justy, someone who you never ever see completely stuck for words, but Katie beat him. So it was a real triumph. Both if you enjoy, if you're on our side and enjoy Katie getting slagged, but also if you enjoy Katie getting her own back. So we're gonna go through Katie's battles with her accusations, scurrilous accusations of hating slaves. something we want to touch on real quickly. We've learned a lot about Katie over the past few weeks. You know, very pro-slavery views have come out about this. Was this something that you learned through the show, or is this like kind of been your secret shame that you've kind of kept for years?
I've heard about the slavery aspect. The truth is, I never really, you know, put it down to slavery. She's very racist, though. And this isn't really her fault. Her mother's very racist. If anything, Katie's less racist than her mother. But the apple obviously doesn't backfire much. She's unintentionally racist. That's probably the worst kind of racism.
Guys, none of this is true. This is going to destroy me. I thought Brienne was a weird fit for it. I thought she would have went north with Sansa and be her Queen's Guard. Like, it's a whole separate state, and she was sworn to protect
her. But if you think about, like, if you were to say about Brienne, if I say to you, like, think about before the Battle of Winterfell, and I was to say to Brienne, you're not only going to be a knight by, like, in a few months' time, but you're going to be the fucking commander of the King's Guard. That would be... Like, she was told she wasn't allowed to fight in the tournament.
Yeah, but she still would have been captain of the Queen's Guard.
Yeah, but for some fucking...
for the one she's sworn to protect.
Yeah, but she's never... But she has never...
You're wrong, Justy.
No, listen. There's no such thing as wrong in opinions.
Except you're wrong.
There's no such thing as wrong in opinions. But if you think about it...
Can we cut Justy's mic?
I'd love to go back and explain to Katie what Game of Thrones is. Actually, do you know what? I'm going to start... Because it's actually hilarious that she thought she could stand toe to toe with Brienne. If you go back to Brienne, right, when she was with Renly, we all hear about when this woman who wasn't, she could best all the men in combat. Didn't she beat what's her head's brother, the flower fucking
Loras? Yeah.
But the point is, she was sworn to Sansa, so why is she in King's Landing?
She swore to keep Sansa safe for Catelyn Stark. Sansa is now a fucking queen
but
in the
think
north.
But as queen, she would need to be kept more safe.
Yeah, by some fucking northerner. What? Why would fucking? Why would she, Brienne of Tarth? By the way, not a northern fucking place at all. Why
hang on, Bran's a northerner, why is he king in the south?
Because he can be!
There is one thing I just want to point out, is that she swore to protect Catelyn Stark's children, not just Sansa.
But then did she not swear
to
Sansa?
Maybe she should get on the boat then.
Yes, but she swore to protect the children as well, and he's the bigger fucking king, so go fuck
yourself. I'm kind of with Katie here.
The bigger king? Isn't the north bigger?
I'm kind of with
the north is bigger.
Fuck, you're right.
The north is bigger than the six kingdoms combined.
She's after convincing me, and the reason is she did. She kneeled down in front of Sansa and swore her sword specifically to her. Did I win? I don't know if you won.
I don't know because it's a symbolic thing for me.
Yeah,
Brienne has got like for someone who was told no, and I really think this should like you should be on.
Is
the
it not
side
more
of,
symbolic for a queen to have a queen's guard?
First of all,
led by the first ever female knight.
Oh,
is that not more?
No.
Oh, well, I
rather
me,
than send her south to serve a man.
But for me, I know you're getting your fucking feminist. But I know you're getting that all up there. But listen, don't get your fucking yeast infection in a twist here. Because all I'm saying is, right, that this woman has, for all of her fucking life, wanted to be a knight, wanted to serve in the fucking Kingsguard. She wanted all of that. And she was told, no, 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 no. Now you've got it. And then if she was given the choice there at the end, here, do you want to come north and this is a brand new kingdom now that no one's really done? Do you want to give up your life's dream? Or do you want to go up north and live with cold?
But it's the same dream, just
it's not, because you're thinking of it. You're thinking of it in a way that one kingdom's as good as the next. But what happens if someone said to you, right, you've got a choice to be president of Ireland or president of Northern Ireland?
Northern Ireland, I'd want to be the first.
You're lying to fucking talk about
I'd want to be
bullshit.
The first.
Yeah, but you wouldn't be the first, would you? I'm just saying a random.
Sansa not the first
you're
queen in the north?
Up, yeah, but you're just coming up with a fucking.
She's just playing defense.
Oh, I never. Yeah, but defense. I never gave her that option. She's just coming up with her. She, that's a, yeah, then I'd say, yeah, have wings as well, Katie. You know what I mean? Like, oh, well, I'm going to pick other. I'm going to pick other stuff. I'm just giving you two fucking sets of rules here, right? You can either be queen of the fucking North of Ireland or queen of the Republic of Ireland. The place where you're from, by the way, that you love, that you can.
A lot of great leaders end up ruling places where they're not from.
Arnold Schwarzenegger,
yeah.
Governor.
I was going to go down the line of like fucking Princes of Monaco, but you went straight for Schwarzenegger.
Always go straight for Schwarzenegger. Yeah. Giving you
and I don't think we're going to ever agree on this. I think
Katie, you know what? After like 5 weeks of getting absolute death on this show, I'm going to give you the win.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Like, yes. If you want, like, I know you got places to be, and now you're hanging out with, ooh, famous friends.
Hold on, wait. You're like, she's just going to come up. Give her opinion, right? And then be like, oh, she wanna fuck off. So I can't give her any more shit for the rest
if
of the episode.
If you wanna drop the mic, well, you can do it behind her back if you want. I think you'd be happy with that.
No, I'll ring her later on.
Katie, look.
Just a barrage of voicemails now when I get home.
It may not get any better than this, so if you want to drop the mic, then I'm totally fine with
all
that.
The temptation is there.
Congratulations, Katie.
He's seething.
I'm not just. It's the word seething. Doesn't even apply.
Does it not satisfy you?
I think I've ground the layer of my teeth away.
Back here, this is modern day Rick Nash. What I love most about that clip is how none of it, like, legitimately, pull you behind the curtain, none of it was planned. I wanted, like, I was like, geez, we've gone hard on Katie for like 5 weeks now. I was kind of hoping like she'd get her own back and there'd be that kind of payoff that you heard there, but none of it was planned. It was all like Katie was like, right, I'm coming out swinging for the last episode, and it really paid off. And you know what? Again, I'll be nice when she's not here, but one of the nicest parts of 2019, Katie's a friend, and we can say this stuff because we're mates, and like we're also fans of her work as well, though, and want to see her do well. That's what led to her being offered to come on Low Blows to begin with. So it was great to see in a very real context, Katie getting knocked down but coming out swinging. That was a recurring theme over 2019, and she did indeed with her surprise comeback. Which, for my money, I want to make a correction from last week's Blowies, where we talked about Irish wrestling moment of the year, and conveniently all forgot, including her, by the way. She didn't kind of give us an Iggy or mention it herself. We all forgot that possibly the best moment in Irish wrestling was involving someone sitting at the table there and then. Where Katie Harvey came back from wrestling, we all just legitimately forgot about it, and we talked about other things when, like, she's sitting right there and probably had the best moment of it all. So we've retrospectively amended the award to include that. You'll see as the Blowies voting continues, we're getting into the Irish wrestling stage now, so now is when shit's gonna really hit the fan. So yeah, we're getting into that now. So Katie came out swinging against real life when you know, she refused to be told that the doctors telling her that her wrestling career was over. She said, no, that's not going to happen. And not only was her wrestling career not over, she was come back before the end of the year. A truly inspirational, triumphant story, and one I was delighted to be able to help bring to people and to kind of bring behind the scenes stuff. There's, of course, several funny moments as well, like the doctor telling her, you are not unique for no good reason. But the payoff was when, like, she came back and obviously then, of course, went on to win the OTT Women's Championship, which, of course, she still holds. And obviously a great to kind of see for her and to be a part of, like, helping tell that story as well. So, we want to talk. We got a lot of chances to talk to her, and she talked quite candidly and openly and bravely on a subject which was difficult. But I want to kind of have a positive vibe in here as well. It's Christmas, so let's have some positivity too, and talk about what motivated her. This is after she came back, and what motivated her to come back when things looked darkest.
It's hard to tell from my perspective. Like, yeah, come back with CT. Like,
I thought of that too. That's a little thing as well. Like, you guys fill in the backstory for anyone who doesn't know. Yeah,
I was really happy with that. Like, we started out together. We started training the same week, and I started out as his manager. So that was really cool that was my return, and he was there. I'm not going to lie, shitting myself all week. Absolutely bricking it all day. I was so paranoid that nobody would react.
That would have been so funny. That would have been the funniest shit. Just dead silence, like.
There was a point backstage where I was just pacing, and Darren Kearney was like, "Are you all right?" And I was like, "Darren, what if I come out and no one gives a shit?" And like, I had a full blown like, "What if no one cares?" And he was like, "Katie, you know who once said that?" And I was like, "Who?" And he goes, "Triple H." And he goes, "Have you ever seen that thing where he thought no one would care? And you know what? They cared, Katie." Like, this is me and Darren in the backstage.
Darren Kearney, locker room leader. Yeah. Jesus Christ. He's the Undertaker now. Next, he's going to be in charge of Wrestler's Court. Like,
yeah,
Jesus.
just, but you know what? He calmed me down. He's like, he just finger gunned me and was like, "You're Triple H tonight." But you know what? It was exactly what I needed.
There's one thing which I want to include as we roll on here with the Best of Low Blows 2019. There's one thing I very much want to have a part of it, because it was probably the most divisive and spoken about moment in Irish wrestling this year. David Starr beating Jordan Devlin for the OTT Championship. It literally caused a civil war in the Irish wrestling community. Nobody was safe. Even OTT commentator Engo got it in the neck for some comments he made on commentary during it. And it just really split people. Whether they went along with Starr's kind of cult leader thing, people had a go at us for just observing that it looked like the crowd had turned heel during that. So I want to kind of include the discussion we had on that and on that subject, because it's a fascinating discussion. And it's like, if you talk about like things that are like people are talking about when it comes to Irish wrestling, this is kind of the current discourse. And if there was ever a time where you wanted to get into Irish wrestling, if you weren't, or if you just followed along with the chatter that we had but you didn't go to shows or watch any VOD, this is the current discussion that's still ongoing, with Starr still being the OTT champion. So I wanted to include the immediate kind of hot take reaction that we had to the OTT 5th anniversary after David Starr beat Jordan Devlin for the OTT championships. I said on Twitter, and this got, I did not expect this to get backlash. I said on Twitter that, like, the point of the match was the fans turned heel. And people disagree with that. I saw someone put up online that it's like, that's doing a great disservice to David Starr's work in this match. And I'm like, no. Do you not see what I'm saying here? Okay?
You're not saying that the fans got bored and turned heel on Devlin. It was like, it was more to it than that. Like,
he's worked them into this frenzy and turned them.
What David Starr has done here, and the political symbolism and everything that he's brought into it, is like, what we did on Saturday was David Starr made us do a Brexit. He made us do a Donald Trump. Do you know what I mean? It was the most 2019 thing ever, where, like, the story of the match was he's still the heel. He's still the same guy. They didn't change their characters one bit. We thought Devlin was going to turn heel. No, Devlin was the exact same as he always was. And then when we're chanting "You sold out," like, I felt really uneasy. Like, did you feel uneasy at people?
I was Team Devon the whole way, and it felt horrible.
Yeah, it was. It was like, oh, I feel disgusted to be in this. Like I'm obviously like not in character, but you know what I mean. Like, I'm thinking as in like everything that's happening here is real. I'm totally immersed in the storyline of it, and I'm like, Devlin he sold out the exact same amount a few months ago when we like fucking jumped for joy when he beat Walter. He was a contracted superstar.
That's it, like.
He's done nothing. He's changed nothing. All right, he's a bit arrogant. Devlin was arrogant then. He was the import killer. You know what I mean? He's always been that. You know what I mean? And then like, the best part was, I go up to people afterwards and I'd say this. I'm like, you turned heel tonight. And they're like, yeah, I know. It was great. They know. This is why I compare it to like Brexit and Trump, because people know that they're wrong. No, bear with me a second. They know. They see David Starr giving a low blow first. They know that that's what's happening. They know David Starr is the heel. But they're just like, it's like, this is why, and this is what I'm saying, David Starr, like his what he's achieved is so impressive. Because what he's taken is, and why the likes of Brexit gets passed, and why the likes of Trump gets passed, is like, you take a disaffected generation of people and you give them a compelling, charismatic cause to rally behind and like create slogans and like catchy things that'll just get them to like buy into what you're saying, because they're just disaffected and they're just pissed off with the system and they just want to fucking protest. You know what I mean? That's what David Starr has done there. He's simulated that. He's taken that feeling with, say, anti-WWE bias, and he's like turned it into like something where people are like, like, for example, when Trump got elected, do you know what I mean? Like, it was the same week Trump got elected was the same week that, like, he was caught, like, telling people that he grabbed girls by the pussy. Do you know what I mean? Now, the people who voted for him a few days later knew he was wrong, but they didn't care because they were disaffected with the system. They were disaffected with the system, so they just are like, I just want change. I just want change. I don't care if he's bad. I don't care what he's done. I don't care. I'm just pissed off with the fucking system, and I'll turn on fucking everything. You know what I mean? David Starr has simulated that feeling and made it feel real to so many fans. And, like, it's the most 2019 feeling. Do you remember, like, when Stone Cold Steve Austin came along? And everyone was like, in 1998, people wanted to tell their bosses to fuck themselves. And Stone Cold played that out. In, like, David Starr is what wrestling fans today want to be. Just telling WWE to fuck themselves. Coming up with these catchy slogans. But there's a hypocrisy and a badness to him. Like, we know he says fuck WWE, but he's tried out for WWE. You know what I mean? Jordan made this point as part of the storyline, you know? We know that there's hypocrisy there. We know he's a bad guy. People, like, I'm not saying people know they're wrong. They genuinely believe, fuck the system, fuck the WWE. But they don't care about the tactics that Starr uses to get them. They don't care about the hypocrisies they show. And then, like, he made 2,000 people turn heel and cheer against an Irish hero who'd done nothing wrong. That's a massive fucking achievement. That was a social experiment, not just a wrestling match we were a part of the other night. And it was amazing to be a part of. It was once in a lifetime feeling like being in the stadium. Or am I overrating it? Am I missing the point here? Like, I don't know. Other opinions are available. Like,
no, it's it's one of the best matches in OTT history, in Irish wrestling history. You know what I mean? It's like, a lot of people have called it the best. Mm. Personally, I'd put the Devlin Walters ahead of it, but again, that's just because I was on Team Devlin, so my experience wasn't as enjoyable. You know what I mean? Like, it was proper tragic when we're just like, da, 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 Jordan Devlin, everyone's just like, boo, boo, and I'm just like, da, 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 da. It was fucking sad, man. It wasn't even a 50-50 split. I thought it was going to be 50-50. It was 95-5. It was like, man, this hurts. Because
it was like, I felt like it was you, Amy, Linus, I was there, and then Jimmy was
Oren.
Beside me.
Oren was pissed.
Oren was there. There was like 20 of us.
Yeah, I'd say there was a 20.
And you can name
Engo,
them. Engo, maybe. Engo, yeah. There was like 20 people there, and everyone else was Team Starr. Because now, for the first time in, nearly a year, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to bring back this old favourite to the main show. It is time for
Queen versus King.
Queen versus Keen makes a return. I just wanted to do this because I think these are going to do really well at this. I think it's going to be hilarious. It's a game where, in a typical Queen versus Keen style, which you still don't ask Low Blows if you don't listen to it every week. Tony Kenny usually sets the challenges there. So what we usually do there is he'll just do like a time limit challenge or stuff like that. But when the original Queen versus Keen was on, we tried to put you in challenges that would affect you in the wrestling world. And this week we're going to go back to its roots and we're going to do something based around calling spots, which is a very important aspect of professional wrestling that wrestlers need to master, basically. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to call spots to each other. So what we're going to do is basically, I asked you guys both to send me a list of 10 wrestlers. They don't have to be known wrestlers. They don't have to be established wrestlers. They don't have to be... it's just basically send me a list of any 10 wrestlers in the world whatsoever. What we're going to do is I'm getting my headphones ready as we speak, okay? I'm going to play music for you. So I had you guys pick out a song that you want to listen to. And then I'm going to read out the list of wrestlers that the other person has given me, and you have to lip read and guess what wrestler I'm saying based off.
Sorry, we can just explain that again. I'm sorry.
You're going to be listening to music.
Okay.
So you won't be able to hear what I'm saying.
Ah, okay.
And then you have to lip read what I'm saying, and you have to guess.
And you're reading my list to Keen.
To Keen, and Keen's list to you.
Okay.
So you don't know what
I'm trying to guess. You're saying the name of the wrestler, is it?
Yeah, I'm saying the name of the wrestler.
Okay.
Exactly.
And you can't hear him, you just have to read his lips.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You just have to, yeah.
So it's lip reading?
Yeah, it's literally lip reading. It's calling spots. All right, so Keen, if you want to put on the headphones there.
Damn.
I asked you to pick songs earlier that I'm going to play while you're, hold on, sorry.
What song did Keen pick?
Keen picked, which you won't hear, guys, for right reasons. Keen picked No Surrender FM by Mango X Mathman. So we're going to play that now. So, Keen, can you hear me at the moment? Can you hear anything I'm saying?
I can't hear what you're saying.
That's what we want. Keen, I'm going to read out 10 wrestlers. Okay. I'm going to start. Wait.
This is proper stressful.
He genuinely
like,
can't hear
freaking
me.
Out.
He can't hear me. Okay, Keen. Question one. Chris Jericho.
Rey Mysterio.
Chris Jericho.
Trish Stratus.
Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho.
Rhino?
Chris Jericho. You haven't got it. Question two. Dom Tuck.
Tom Cook. Who's Tom Cook?
Tom Tuck.
Filthy Tom Lawler.
Dom Tuck.
Okay,
you got it. Question three. Roman Reigns. Yes, he's getting the hang of this, Katie. You're already. Question four, Nikki Cross.
Seth Rollins?
Nikki Cross.
It's Seth Rollins?
Nikki Cross.
Oh. Nikki Cross. I was like, the song distracted me.
Nikki Cross. That's the point.
Jay Money.
It's not Jay Money. Question five, LJ Cleary. This is going to be
Mark
great.
Henry.
LJ Cleary. LJ Cleary.
LJ Cleary?
Yeah, there you go.
Peak ass, couldn't
question, it's the connection. Question six. Charlotte.
Jack.
Charlotte.
Jack.
Charlotte.
Any wrestlers called Jack? Charlotte. I don't know any wrestlers called Jack.
Charlotte.
What?
Charlotte. Charlotte. No, okay. Question seven. Bray Wyatt.
You see, he's
Bray
covering
Wyatt.
The microphone. Like,
Bray Wyatt.
What? Bray Wyatt.
There you go. Question eight. Ric Flair.
Judy Bagwell.
Question nine. Becky Lynch.
Becky
Lynch.
Ben Given. Ben Given. Any other wrestlers called Ben? Ben.
Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch.
Minnie McKenzie.
Question 10. Eric Rowan.
Edge. Christian.
Eric Rowan.
Braun Strowman.
Eric Rowan.
Very lost.
Eric Rowan.
John Cena.
Eric Rowan.
Randy Orton.
Eric Rowan. Eric Rowan. Okay. You can take them off. You
My favourite part of all that is how he'd make a guess and then look at me like Baby Yoda.
I was so lost. Was I talking loud there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't, because that's a proper mind fuck that is. If I knew that was the song, I would have chosen a different song. That's a good strategy.
Point that it
was a loud song as well.
How many did you get? You got Dom Tuck, you got Roman Reigns, you got LJ Cleary, did you get Bray Wyatt?
Yeah.
You got Bray Wyatt, you didn't get Ric Flair, Becky Lynch, and you didn't get Eric Rowan.
Yeah, no, it's just a different world when you've got the headphones on.
Katie, I want you to step into that world. The song of choice you had was, try them on there.
To the surprise of no one.
It is I'm Not Okay. That's not something you're supposed to struggle with. Putting on the headphones is a really basic
part of the challenge.
We're gonna have I'm Not Okay by My Chemical Romance as well. The headphones are they're like sound, they kill the sound.
Yeah,
as well,
no shit, man. Yeah. I don't know what you're saying.
All right, Katie, check the right. She's okay on this side. Is she okay on your side?
Yeah.
The headphones are on.
Can she hear us now?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, but the song isn't playing. The song's playing now.
Okay, because I want to point out something, but if I point it out now, it'd be like...
Point it out. It's gone.
No, I can't.
She can't hear a word you're saying.
Right now?
Yeah.
This second. Kate, you can't hear a word I'm saying.
Okay, we're good. We're good. Okay.
I've accidentally picked like my favorite wrestlers. I should have picked someone less obvious.
Well,
are we started?
Question one.
Okay.
Eric Rowan.
See, that's what I mean. Too
Question
obvious.
Question two. Allison Kay. Alison Kay.
Oh, come on, Alison Katie.
ABBA.
Oh my god, are you... Katie.
Alison Kay.
Katie.
Alison Kay.
Alistair.
Alison Kay.
Asuka.
No. Oh my god, Katie.
Question
three. My favourite...
LJ Cleary.
It is three.
LJ Cleary.
Come on, Katie.
LJ Cleary.
Anna Bledda.
Who's that?
LJ Cleary. LJ Cleary. No.
I don't know what you're saying.
It's okay, Kate, you're shouting. She can't hear me.
Raven Creed.
It's four.
Yeah. Raven Creed.
You're laughing. I don't know.
Raven Creed.
Be a professional. Stop laughing.
Raven Creed.
Ray.
Raven Creed.
Ray Mysterio.
Raven Creed. There you go, right. Killer Cross.
Oh, she won't get this one.
Killer
Definitely
cross.
Won't.
Lacrosse? Like the game?
Killer Cross. He's actually so close. Killer Cross. No, okay.
No.
Eddie Kingston.
Akeem.
Akeem. That was my guess. I'm a big Akeem fan.
Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston.
Alistair?
Stop getting Alistair.
Why did you pick Alistair four times?
Why are you shouting at me?
Big Rab. There you go, too. Owen Richards.
Fuck off. Is that the one she gets?
Leo Rush.
Oh, this is bollocks.
This is the one to win. Bobby Lashley.
Wanker.
Oh, wanker.
Absolute wanker. I'm pissed.
You won. You won. Five right. You won.
I'm raging. I'm actually
you
like...
You did not realise how loud you were.
Oh, really?
You were screaming. You were a proper screaming.
Being a professional. That's why you were laughing.
I was trying to... I went... Katie, would you stop shouting? I really always chat here.
Amazing. All right, guys, I had to leave it on a silly note because, like, there's a lot of serious moments, a lot of serious chats and a lot of stuff that had consequences and real life kind of blowback, like, included in there as well as a lot of randomness and a lot of laughs. But I think the reason we all kind of, why we enjoy doing Low Blows and I think why you enjoy listening to it too is for the randomness and the stupidness and how we can just all like enjoy wrestling together. So I did want to end on that Queen versus Keane. Guys, it's been a great year. We love, like I have to say, I love my Wednesdays. I've done this for a long time with a lot of different people and I enjoy each kind of era of Low Blows on its own merit. I look back on all of them fondly and I genuinely genuinely mean that. But like, there are times when it was a lot of work, or it was like, oh God, like, this is a stress on me. Despite the fact that I love doing the show and having the show done and chatting to yourselves after the show and so on, and kind of continuing the conversation online and all that kind of stuff. But now I have to say, this is probably the happiest I've been with Low Blows, with everything. I think we've got a nice kind of setup with myself, Katie and Keen, and I think we're all kind of like on the same page. It's just three mates hanging out and talking about wrestling every week, and that's what I think a podcast should be, and I think that's what we've got here, and I think it's as strong as ever, and you guys as well. Like, I think the audience, like, we have, like, kind of are on the same speed as us, where you guys don't take things too seriously. You're passionate about your wrestling, but you're not kind of like, you know, you're in it for the right reasons. This is our way, like I said, on Christmas Day, this may be a day where you're looking to just have some normalcy and continue and some consistency in your life. So Low Blows being there waiting for you on Christmas morning on a Wednesday is like, can play a part in that as well. And that's what wrestling is to us. It's our way away from the madness of the real world, no matter how great it is or no matter how shitty it is. Wrestling can either take you away from the shittiness or it can add to the greatness. And I think that's the best part about being a wrestling fan. And we lose sight of that sometimes. We get caught up in the toxicity. We get maybe too invested in things. And we let it kind of negatively affect us. Where that's not why we like wrestling. You know what I mean? If you're ever kind of, you know, if you're ever in a situation where your hobby is making your life actively worse or affecting you negatively, in a way it's not supposed to, where it's not like, you know, you can be pissed off that your favorite wrestler doesn't have the championship and want them to win the big title match they have. That's part of the experience. But if it's genuinely affecting it, then I think you're doing it wrong. And I think that's where we come in, and we kind of try and, if anyone's feeling that way, put you back on track, or at least kind of, you know, like, remind ourselves and remind each other, because we get bogged down in this stuff too, and all just kind of come back on the same page. And I think with you guys, you get that. You keep us on track, we keep you on track, and we kind of do it together. It's a community. Like, even with the parties, I getting to hang out every now and then and just kind of have pints and enjoy it all and have the chats. I love this. I love this job. I love everything about it. So thank you for supporting it and adding to that and making it kind of what it is, because otherwise it's just three mates hanging out, which is great fun, but you guys turn it into something else and so much more. So thank you for that. I hope to be able to, we're going to keep doing the show like as normal, like nothing's going to change in 2020, like, because I think we're all loving doing it so much. And then as well, like, who knows what 2020, like, this year again, if you consider this time last year we didn't even know what AEW was, who knows what it's going to have in store for us. But no matter what changes, no matter what happens, Low Blows will be there for you to help kind of ground you and bring you back to the real world, and either like talk about it, hash it out, kind of work through any negativity we're feeling, or just get stupid and laugh in the middle of it. We're going to be back in 2020 and I cannot wait for it. And also, we're going to be back in Buskers on the Ball starting January 5th. We have our big fuck off Wrestle Kingdom party. Usually it's just one day where we take over a Temple Bar pub to watch Japanese wrestling for an evening at the start of January. This time we're taking it over for a whole Sunday. It's starting at 2 p.m. until around 10 p.m. We're going to watch both nights of Wrestle Kingdom back to back. We're going to have no Temple Bar prices on booze. We're going to have food all day as well, so you can come down, you can pace yourself, you can have pint water wings, do it whatever way you want. It's going to be absolutely class, and we have possibly the most stacked weekend of wrestling, I don't know, it may be ever. We're going to, and what we're going to do in the meantime is, we're going to be back again next Wednesday. We'll always be here for you on a Wednesday or Thursday morning, whenever you listen to it. We're going to be back next Wednesday with a big Wrestle Kingdom preview. I'm working on getting a special guest in there. I don't want to promise anything, just only to not have it work out, but it's looking good. I want to have a special guest in there to help me preview Wrestle Kingdom. If you're one of those people who just likes to come down on January 4th and watch Wrestle Kingdom, if you don't have time to fit in a new promotion and follow New Japan week to week and only kind of keep up with Low Blows. What we're going to do is we're going to give a blagger's guide to Wrestle Kingdom. We're going to kind of, if you're a big New Japan fan, you'll enjoy it. But also as well, if you don't follow New Japan, you just want to kind of, but you want to head to Buskers on the 5th, we're going to tell you everything you need to know about the card, about the matches, about the differences with New Japan. And we're going to do it the way we always do it. I cannot wait for it, guys. So that is next Wednesday. On Friday, this Friday coming up, we will have the best of Ask Low Blows as well. If you love Ask Low Blows and the randomness of it like I do, that's going to be right up your alley too. So I cannot wait for that, guys. Thank you so much for listening, for coming to the parties, for tweeting us, for whatever you do, however you participate in Low Blows. We love this, and it's because you guys add that cherry on top. So thank you. But until 2020, well, Friday we'll be back with you. Yeah, but you know what I mean. Until 2020, we've got fresh new content. I say this on behalf of my co-hosts, Katie Harvey and Corporate Keen. I've been Rick Nash, and that's the bottom line, because Loblo said so. Happy New Year, and Happy Christmas, guys.